a word this morning. The title of what I'm going to talk about is war or warfare. There's a war going on. You may not know it. But if you're a Christian this morning, there's a war going on within you. The Bible says so. That's the reason I know. Not only do I know that it goes on within me because I've experienced that, but if you're a born-again believer this morning, it's going on in you too. There is a misconception, but there are so many. And it doesn't seem like it should be a surprise to anybody. A couple of years ago, I did this study on this word subtle, because the Bible calls Satan the most subtle of all the creatures that God created. And I learned from that, for my own mind, that probably the biggest thing in Satan's mind is to do what he's going to do without ever being detected that it's him that's doing it. It led me to believe and question the idea that when people take an AK-47 or something and go into a schoolroom and shoot a bunch of kids or something, that this maybe is the work of Satan. And I've got to the place to where I don't believe probably it is. I think that's Satan's work out of control, because I don't think he wants to be given that much attention. Being subtle, doing the work that he wants to do without being caught at it, is very, very important to him. And with that in my mind, I found out that I'm learning that there are a lot of things going on even in our churches that Satan is moving us just a little bit off the mark. Now, we're not going to be moved a lot off the mark probably until we really get in the final stages of it, because we'd catch on. And Satan doesn't want you really bad. He just wants you out from under the control of God. The song says, I need thee every hour. No better statement has ever been made. We can't operate any without God. A Christian cannot. But we attempt to every day. And I do think, I believe now at this point, and I've said it to some of our guys, that I believe that Satan's will for each one of us as Christians is that we might wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, a very moral, upright job, 2.3 kids, everything that is approved of, but never one time consider whether or not God is approving of what we're doing that day. He says, as a Christian, Lord, you got him, but I had him today. Because we see the Bible teaches something that is so easily misunderstood. That if I'm doing what I want to do, I'm not doing what God wants me to do. That the person who does not have Christ, the Bible calls him a slave to sin, a slave to Satan. So using my own mind is actually doing the work of Satan. That we are in the flesh, the Bible calls it. So the point I'm trying to make this morning, and the differentiation I'm trying to make, is this. There is a distinction here that we're not all getting. I'm sure of that. Jesus did not die on the cross solely to get you into heaven. Jesus also died on the cross to get heaven into you, in such a way that others might see Jesus in you. That is his goal. And I see so many times we see this thing of Christianity as a hurdle. And once we get saved, we are there. And there's nothing more for us other than to go through religious rituals and whatever. That is what I'm now calling incomplete salvation. God never intended for us to be there. He never intended for us just to get saved and to stay there and live a nice, quote, life. God intended for us to become more and more like His Son Christ every single day. Come unto me, He says, and I will give you rest. Woo. You don't understand. I joined the church and they're about to work me to death. But you see, that's another thing that I think we're mistaken about. He says, if you come to me, burden, bring your burden to me and I will give you rest. What he's saying here is get out of the hole. Give me the shovel. Let me dig. Let me dig. Because what we've done, we've taken on the struggle ourselves and we're trying to do like humans do. Impress one another. We're trying to do like humans do. Excel by effort. And that's not the way we play His game. And so many times we haven't learned that. We can't make ourselves better. And people really get to looking hard when I say that. We can't be better. We can only appear to be better. And I'll try to explain that this morning. We get sidetracked. We become familiar as we bring ourselves to churches, as we spend time in churches. We learn biblical language and we never receive the truth of exactly who we are and what we're doing. We get sidetracked. Like I'm saying, the Satan sidetracks us onto those religious things. God wants you to discover the real you and the real Him. And not be sidetracked on some of these other issues that we get to arguing about so. Now the Bible is after you. God is after you to try to teach you this. And Satan is coming in on the life of a Christian after he's saved and trying to get you over on the sidetrack. And I'm sorry to say from where I stand, it looks like that a lot of us are getting that away. Because we've got this idea that if I work hard enough, I'll look good enough to be approved of by you, and that is the goal. And that's not the goal. That's not the goal. Because you see, I was born with something called the old sin nature. It's inside of me. It came with the flesh. It came with the body. It's part of standard equipment. And until I was born again, I was a slave to that being. I was a slave to sin, and I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it, Mama used to say. What I looks at, I wants. That's what she said about my brother. Now that's the way we are. And I want what I want. And that is Satan. That is satanic right there. Because you see, the Bible says, if a man would come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and come after me. It's all about denying self. It's a decision. He wants you to discover the real you and the real God. And the Bible doesn't shoot over you to scare you. It never has done that. The Bible shoots dead center. God is coming after you, wanting you to understand this. So if we don't understand it right off the bat, it shows what a good job Satan is doing in our churches. You know, my mother was a school teacher, and she used to tell about the story about the lady that came and said, my boy sometimes can be a little bit rough. If you'll just spank the child next to him when he's bad, he'll quit doing bad things. That's not the way the Bible operates, y'all. It's coming after you. It's coming straight for you. It's going for you, and it wants you to understand what's going on. And we've got to find out ourselves. We pet ourselves where sin is concerned. We make it easy on us. And we treat the sins in our lives very courteously. You say, well, I don't know about that. Oh, yes. Because when somebody says something about something we do in a teasing manner, well, you know, we just got that old sin. You know, all sin and come short of the glory of God. We make ourselves excuses for sin. But sin takes its toll, and we need to understand that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. I want to show you something that Paul came to and try to see this as it really is in the chapter 7 of Romans in verse 19. Paul says, for the good that I would do, I do not. but the evil which I would not that I do. Now that's in Old King's English, but what he says is, I want to be good. I don't want to be bad, but I find myself doing the bad things I don't even want to do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's trying to come to an understanding of why he's doing things that he knows he doesn't want to do. So he's come to this idea and he calls it sin that is within me. That is the old sin nature that we're talking about here. It's in there and it's going to be there. It came with you and it will go out with you. You'll never get rid of it. And you'll never diminish it. All you'll ever learn to do is to control yourself, not to say yes to it. I find then a law, he says, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, that is, in my body, warring against the law of my mind. There's the war I'm talking about. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I have found that within me there is a law that causes me to sin even when I don't want to. How in the world can I escape this? And the point is, folks, you can't escape it. It came with your body. It'll be with your body until your spirit leaves it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now what he's saying right there is, I've got a mind that can choose to do what I want to do. I've got a body that wants me to do bad things. It wants me to take that extra piece of cake. And that's the reason I'm saying courteous, because we talk about things like that. And those choices are sinful choices. Now, in an oversimplification of that, here's what we've got. We've got a guy, say, that maybe was an alcoholic. And he's been born again. And he's got a nice family now. He's got a nice wife and nice kids and a nice job and a nice house. And he gets his car in his car after work in the afternoon, and he starts home. Before he was born again, he could only go to one place. The body said, I want you to carry me to the bar and get me drunk. I've had a rough day today, and I don't feel good, and I want that relaxation. But you see, he gets to that intersection now, and home is left. And the bar is right. Where's he going to go? Now, with the Jesus Christ living within him and working through the Holy Spirit in him, he's got a choice. He can make the choice to go where the flesh wants him to go, and he can make a choice to do the right thing and go home to the delight of his wife and children. That's an oversimplification, but that is the point that I'm trying to make. In Galatians, you may want to turn there, in chapter 5. So for every one of you who today is a Christian, there is war going on inside of you. If you are not a born-again believer, there is no war, because you've only got one action working, and that's Satan in your heart. And he's causing you to make choices that your mind doesn't want. What have you got before salvation in the Holy Spirit? Well, you've got mom and daddy's teachings. You've got the policeman that's down the road down here. And you know yourself. You've thought about it. It's not that maybe you think that going 10 miles over the speed limit is wrong and you shouldn't do it. You just don't want to get caught. You know, you've sat on the side of the road. If you've ever been caught for speeding, you know how it is. You know, if he could just write the ticket and let me alone and get off the side of this road, somebody's going to drive by here and see me sitting here with this policeman. We'd rather pay the ticket than we had. If there was some way they could just clock us and mail us the tickets, it'd be a lot easier. We don't like to be singled out. That is the flesh working. That is the flesh. In chapter 5 of Galatians, and verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What it's saying is, when you were born again, Christ said, "I'm going now, but I'm going to leave with you one that is greater than me." That was the Holy Spirit. And when you were saved, it moved in. And it's in there now, trying to influence you to make the choices that God wants you to make. Not only is it doing that, but it's trying also to convince you that if you choose the wrong thing, if you make a choice for the flesh, it's not going to really hurt you in the long run. I mean, what's going to happen? They're not going to catch you anyhow. I did a psychological, when I started years ago with this Christian counseling thing, I did a study on the mind of criminals. And they are tremendous, never thought about it, but they are tremendous optimists. They say things like this: "Oh, but I'm not going to get caught. Oh, but you don't know how many policemen are there. Well, if I get caught, they're not going to do anything to me. Well, you know, they're beginning to do it with so-and-so. Well, if they do something to me, they're not going to do much. Well, now they've given you 10 years. Well, I think I can stand it. Prison's not going to be that bad." That's the way they think. And it is bad. And it's not good for you. And it's not good for those around you. And the thing about sin is progressive. You start with a little bit, and you wind up doing a lot. And you say to yourself, "This is not going to hurt anybody but me. It's me, and it's mine, and it's my decision, and I'm going to make it." But think about it for a moment. Whatever sin we involve ourselves in always affects all those around us. It's just not us that are hurt. Everybody's hurt. That has anything to do in our sphere of environment, influence, and they're hurt also. One of the most impacting thoughts I ever found out as a father and a husband, that if I didn't do what God wanted me to do, that Satan could get through my level of protection to my wife and my kids. Now, it's one thing to say I'm not hurting anybody but myself. But I'm going to tell you today, y'all, if you have a family, and if you have a husband or a wife and you have children, when you do those things that God does not want you doing, you're affecting them. And you're hurting them. And they're getting hurt from a decision that they never made. You made it. So you see, we do affect those around us. Now it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Like I said, now we've got a choice. We were born with flesh. We live in the flesh, and the flesh is there. It'll always be there, and it'll always be doing the same thing, trying to get you to follow Satan. And Satan is self. And when I do what I want to do for me, I'm doing what Satan wants me to do. That is the sin that got him kicked out of heaven, in case you've forgotten. I will be like the Most High God. Satan says, "I will make my own decisions. I won't listen to God. I'll do what I want to do." That was Satan's very own personal sin. And when we choose to do that, and we think, "But I have that right." Yes, and Satan had that right too. And he wound up in hell. Hell was never created for you and I, guys. It wasn't. It was created for Satan and the angels that fell with him. But now it's there. And it's a handy place to put those people who choose not to follow God. So we've got the Spirit inside of us, and we live in a body of flesh. Those are the two choices. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." You know, one of the best descriptions I ever heard was one of the first ones I ever heard. They told the tale on an old black preacher that said, "It's like a black dog and a white dog fighting inside of you." And somebody asked, well, who wins? He said, the one you feed the most. And you're in charge. Who wins? The one that you follow. Who wins? The one that you make your decisions to go after. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Here's what happens. You see, I've got the flesh. I've got satanic influence in me. It's born with me. It's been there since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. It comes with me genetically. Then, you see, I'm born again. I choose to accept Christ's death on the cross and His blood atonement for my sins. I become saved. I get the indwelling Holy Spirit. I choose to go after the Spirit instead of the flesh. Now, as I learn to do that, it's like training a horse or training a dog or training a child. We need to understand that imposed discipline on anything will result in self-discipline. When you impose discipline and training on anything, they soon find that it's easier to accept the discipline than it is to go against the program. And so they become self-disciplined. And so that's what happens. Is as we learn to make Jesus' choices rather than Satan's choices, it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. Have we gotten any better? We appear to be better on the outside because we're not doing all those bad things. But don't you see, the point I'm trying to make is that influence in you that is trying to get you to do those things is still there. It still is strong. It still has the same character. It has the same will. It has the same desires, and it's trying to bring about in you the very same thing. The reason it doesn't look as strong is you've learned not to say yes. And so you don't see it as much, but it's still there. The fight that a Christian who's been a Christian for 50 years is the same fight that a Christian has to make who's been a Christian for 10 hours. I'm learning that now. I've been a Christian now for 57 years, and if you drop your guard, you still find, and God will show you, that there is a side to you that you're really, really not too happy about. And you think about all these things you've learned, all this Bible terminology, you can turn and find places all over the book, you can make comments, biblical comments, on all kind of different questions and categories, and you find out that you let your guard down just a little bit, and you'll still look like you did 50 years ago. The evil is still in there if you will just obey it. 1 Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. James 4 and 1 says, lusts that war in your members. Now it's war. The Holy Spirit has a responsibility to you to try to get you to be what God wants you to be. Now, we're not talking here about the way church makes you feel guilty because you didn't show up on Wednesday night, or maybe you're not giving and they have a need, or all these kind of stuff, or you missed Sunday school, or you can't check the box for you read your Bible and whatever. Maybe you were late. That's not what we're talking about, folks. That's not the kind of things we're dealing with here. We're talking about the goal that God has for you as a person. The goal that God has for you and your ministry and what you're to do and the attitude you're supposed to have and the way you're supposed to think. This is the stuff that's important. It was never God's purpose to improve that fleshly side of you. It was never God's person to Christianize the flesh because you can't. You can't save the flesh. You can only save the spirit of a man. You can't tame the flesh. It does no good to educate the flesh. The only solution is that the flesh has to be denied when the flesh says, do this. It's not bad. Oh, but yes, it is bad. Well, it won't hurt. Not just one time. but it does. It's progressive. A little bit of sin gets bigger and bigger, and it has a tendency to draw you closer in on it. There's a song that says sin will carry you further than you wanted to go and take you places you didn't want to be and keep you there longer than you wanted to stay. That is the nature of sin. It does that. And so you see, the thing we've got to be careful of is don't even turn the right blinker on. I mean, you know, go up there before you get to the intersection with the left blinker on and turn toward the house, go to the wife and kids. Don't even consider going the other place. You know, it's the old thing, you know, I just go up there and take one drink. You know, I can handle it. I can handle it. But the Bible tells us to flee from temptation. We're to look Satan in the face. We're scared to death of Satan. We run every time he shows himself. And we're to look him square in the face, and like Jesus did in the wilderness, and say, no, I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I can be around this, and it's not going to hurt me. I think I've conquered that in my life. No. You flee temptation, and you face Satan. And we do the opposite. Romans chapter 6 says for us to let not sin reign in our members. Don't let it rule. You rule your members, and you say no. You know, there's something we've got to understand in ourselves, and the Bible says it. I quoted you that verse a while ago about denying ourselves. There is a side of ourselves that we're to deny. That side that wants to do sin, there's a self that we're to deny. But you see, in another place, it says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, if you don't love yourself, what good is it going to do to love your neighbor like you're loving yourself? So you see, there's a self of you that needs to be loved, and there's a self of you that needs to be denied. There it is. And so I love the self that responds to God like God wants me to. And I deny the self that's trying to get me into trouble, because they're both there. And like I said, they'll always be there. So what happens? You come under new management. We're going to operate this person a little bit differently than we used to. We're not going to say yes to the bad things. We're going to say yes to the good stuff. We're going to say no to the bad thing. We're going to manage it differently. And in the end, you'll come out looking better. Are you just as capable of doing some bad stuff? Oh, yeah. You never get by that. But the fact is, you've learned to choose the right thing, and it works. There used to be a campaign out to just say no. God is in that campaign business. Deny the flesh, deny yourself, say no to Satan. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. I want to read you a scripture in closing from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Isn't it the world that always gets us in trouble? Isn't it doing things in the world, wanting to be a part of the world, wanting to do this in the world that gets us in a jam? Well, so-and-so's got it. Why can't I have it? I mean, I want to look nice driving down the street. I want to look nice. You fill in the blank. We pet ourselves. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What it's saying here is, if you love the world and all the things that the world offers you more than you love God, you're probably going to make the wrong decision. You're going to figure out some kind of way to justify that I'll do the thing that my flesh wants me to do instead of the thing that God wants me to do. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And our enemies are the world, ourselves, and Satan. That's the three. And they all teamed up together. Now when we see it like that, I came in here with a body of flesh with the old sin nature. Then I get big enough to see things in the world and know that I want them. And then Satan starts after me to get me to do what the flesh and the world wants me to do. The world tells you, if you're going to get ahead, you're going to have to step all over people. I mean, business, how many times have I heard business is done this way? But that's not honest. But that's the way it's done in business. It's accepted in the business world. And like one fellow said one time, yeah, but you'll never get it past Deuteronomy. So you see, therein lies the problem. It's not what the world accepts as business and considers you a good person to allow. It's what God says, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to keep our eyes on what God says is okay and not on what the world. And the pride of life. You know, my Bible taught me years and years ago that every sin originates with pride. And I thought, that is a very broad statement. Surely there is some sin that doesn't start with pride. And in about 25 years, I haven't found one. Not one. Not one. And the world passeth away, and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is the thing, if there's any motivation to all of this thing, of not saying yes to myself, of denying myself and saying yes to God. Is it one thing I've got to understand, that one of these days my heart's going to quit beating? Well, it already has quit. I got a pacemaker, but maybe, you know, maybe the pacemaker quit. I don't know. But I'm going to die. That's what I'm trying to say. And as soon as I die, everything out here in the world that has been enticing me not to do what Christ wants me to do is gone. It has just left my reach. It don't matter what I've accumulated, what kind of legacy I've built, or anything else. It's like one fellow I heard say one time, it don't matter what kind of life you lived, it don't matter how many people you helped, it don't matter what levels of success you have reached, the size of your funeral will ultimately depend on the weather that day. And it will. It will. So you see, if I'll just look at things, the things that I'm denying myself are going to be gone. The life that I'm going to live, what, 60, 65, 67, 70, 75, that span of years? And the whole thing of time is not very long at all. Eternity is from now on. It's from now on. If I make the right choice with God, if I hang with God through Christ my Savior, from now on, I'm going to be with him. When I look at it, what if I deny myself these little things today that are really not that big a deal? If it's going to make me better for living for eternity with Jesus Christ, what is the choice? When you look at it that way, it's not much of a choice at all. But the fact is, and this is the point I want to try to make today, it is a choice. If you are a born-again believer today, if you're a Christian, you have a choice. And God is doing everything that he can through the working of the Holy Spirit and that influence that he's ordained to get you to make the right choices. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that you'll cause us to be able to see the real us. Because, Lord, really and truly, I've seen it happen too many times. The only time that we can really be of any value to you is if we really understand just who we are. If we really see the situation as it really is. If we understand that in our own strength we can do nothing to impress you. That the only way that we can do anything that impresses you is to allow you to work in us. That we're still just an old bucket of dust that we started with the flesh that's trying to get us to go Satan's way. Let us, Lord, scoop that dust out of our bucket and fill it with you. And then all of a sudden we look pretty good. But, Lord, we need to understand it's not us looking good at all, but the fact that we're carrying you around with us. So, Lord, teach us to discipline ourselves, to make the decisions that you would have us make, that we might have a successful life forever, living with you in eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.